guys here if I told you or not, but we've got a few things going on up there at the mission. Now, that's not counting on my travels. That's just the mission. We've got Capital City Blitz on the 6th, September 6th, 7th, and 8th. That is in September 6th, 7th, and 8th. We'll have a God and Country rally on the State House steps. Then we'll go downtown and preach all over the city of Columbus. Now, we got 1 million people in Columbus, and so that's just inside the corp limit. So there's no lack of people to give tracts to and preach to.
Amen.
Amen. And then on Saturday, we're not sure yet about the game as far as the timing, but normally we have a game. Now, you can pass out tracts to 200,000 people there, preach to 200,000 people. That's the crowd going in and the crowd partying outside around it. And that's a pretty good crowd. And whatever the group of people you would like to minister to, we can get you to them. They're all there, believe me. Amen. And so that's the September 6th, 7th, and 8th. Another big thing to announce is we're finally starting a women's home. Now, of course, you know my pastor graduated a couple years ago, went to heaven. And anyway, we've for a long time wanted to start a women's home. We've had that men's home since, I think, 92 is when it started. And we house men over there that are, you know, they trying to get off dope and booze and they come in, they get saved, they get in a club, they stay for a minimum of 3 months. We want to do something like that for the women. We've always had women that get saved on the street as well, but we just had no place to put them. And so we've had a few people give some donations to that, and they've got some money saved, and we're looking for a place, some property in the country where we could put a couple double wides or a pool building or something on there to house women, and you got to get them in the country.
Yeah.
You don't want them to stay in the city.
Right.
For obvious reasons. And so anyway, that's something to pray about. We got that going on. Another thing to pray about is... I guess it was in all about mid-December, right up through about, as some of you know, some of you might have remembered this, but I guess it was mid-December right up until about January or right up somewhere through there, almost 2 months, I spent just going this way and that way trying to pick up loads for the mission. That's all I did. And so I'm trying to get some rhyme and reason to this thing. We don't have a director as far as someone picking up this stuff. And so I wish you'd pray with me about something. I'm trying to get 12 churches to commit to picking a month that they will all year or at least for a few months take up stuff for the mission. And so that I can stop by each month a different place and pick up a load instead of for 2 months straight just running ragged. Because I think I did something like, if I remember, in them 2 months, somewhere around, I bet I did 10 to 15,000 miles somewhere in there just picking up stuff. And I mean, rat race. And so pray that that'll come to pass. I was down there at Bible Baptist. He said they're going to commit to one of them months, and that'll be a blessing. And I'm trying to get 12 churches. If I get one a month and they tell me what month they want, I can tell them what we need for that month. Because it's obvious, you know, the months where it's cold in Columbus, which anymore, 6 to 9 months. Really, Ohio, it's been cold. I used to tell people 6 months a year Ohio has winter. Now I'm thinking it's more like 8 or 9 months, amen. But anyway, we don't need coats in June
right.
yet. And so anyway, so someone picks June, we need backpacks, thin socks. We always need shoes. You know, there's just some things you need year-round at the mission. You always need socks, shoes, little candles, backpacks, toilet paper, and the biggest need is always food. They dig in dumpsters for food. They'll eat anything. And so whatever you got, they'll eat it. You say, man, I've got this stuff in my freezer. It's freezer burnt 6 inches. We'll cut it off and serve it.
Amen.
Them girls in the kitchen know how to make a whole bunch of something out of nothing. Amen. They're well experienced. And so, you know, year round we need that stuff. You come into somebody getting ready to throw a whole bunch of stuff out, you just give me a call, I'll come pick it up. Amen. And so appreciate your prayers on that as well. And it's just been busy, 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 busy. I did 1,800 miles in the last week, I think. And in the last month, preached something like 42 times in 30 days or something like that. That's a little bit of preaching.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what? Why wouldn't I? Amen. And so, just busy, 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 and I don't know any other way to be. This thing, your Bible says work, you know, while it's still daytime. The night's coming when no man worketh. The Lord's getting ready. I'm not waiting for a tribulation. I'm waiting for a trump. Amen.
Amen.
I'm waiting for the trump of God. I'm waiting to be blasted off faster than any rocket ever dreamed of. Amen. And I am looking forward to flying. There's not one problem any of us have tonight that the rapture wouldn't fix.
That's right.
Amen. But you're going to land one day, and when you land at the feet of Jesus Christ, you're going to wish you'd been different down here.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Amen. And so get different now.
Amen.
Get something going on now, and just do it full blast till He comes.
Amen.
Every year I think to myself, how can I do more for Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Now we send out signs, send out tracts. I put over, I don't know, I'm going to guess 15 to 20 million tracts just in America. That's not counting all the other countries. Plus put sandwich signs for street preaching all over the world. Plus send out CDs, sermon CDs all over the world. Plus do about 65 to 80,000 miles a year preaching. And rescue little churches that are getting ready to close. Try to put pastors in them and all this, that, and the other. And you know what? Now listen, I'm not saying that to say, believe me when I say I'm the least. I'm like a little nick, a little scratch, a nobody, a nothing. I've done zip, zero, zilch. And I tremble and fear and quake to think of me standing at the judgment seat of Christ.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so you say, what are you saying? I'm saying, better get busy.
Amen, preacher.
Better do something.
Yes, sir.
America's one of the laziest countries you've ever seen physically, but I'm going to tell you something. The only way she outweighs her laziness physically is spiritually. Spiritually, she's sick. She's anemic. In the flesh, she's fat. But in the spirit, she's starving. She's like a POW.
Amen.
Amen. You say, prisoner of war? Yeah, she's a war to this thing. She's a prisoner of war-ness. She's trapped. Amen. Well, I'm here to help you. Look in 2 Timothy in chapter 3. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Appreciate your prayers and support. Appreciate getting to come by and appreciate getting to meet your new pastor. What a blessing. Amen. That you got a pastor. Praise the Lord. A lot of churches don't have a pastor. I know plenty of them right now. I know about three churches going to close down probably within the next 6 months if they don't get a pastor. Praise the Lord. Seen two of them in the last probably 2 months, though, get pastors, so they will not close down, at least not right away, unless the fella blows it real good. Amen. And man, work, for the night is coming. Look at 2 Timothy in chapter 3, look at verse 1. The Word of God says this. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Then he goes on, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, God, it sure is good to be saved. Sure is good to come into the house of God tonight and as musical instruments of men sing the sweet songs of Zion. Sure is good, Lord, to come into a place and hear special singing. God, thank you, Lord, for those that sang. Thank you for those that gave. Thank you for these that have come, not to hear from me, but thee. Pray that'll be the case tonight as your people bow their head and their heart and ask you, God, to do for them what I sure cannot, and that is change them. Might it be a change. It'll show up at the judgment seat of Christ for their good one day soon, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Now, in 2 Timothy in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, I'm going to talk about simply what I've entitled. Here it is, Seeing Selfishness. Seeing it. Now, see is to perceive by sight. Of course, selfishness is, here it is, regarding one's own self, regarding one's own interest, chiefly or solely. In other words, it's all about me. Now, if there's one problem that Laodicean church has, that she has real bad, is this thing. I just started putting together again yet another series on this thing, and I can't get over it. I just can't help myself on it. I beat it to death, amen. You say, why? Because it's so obvious in our churches, amen. Yes, the biggest problem you got tonight is you. Amen. That's it. It's us. And so here in this passage, you've got him talking about the last days. He talks about the love of man, and the love of man is he's in love with himself. Then he gives a list to prove it. A man that's in love with himself is what? He's covetous. He's a boaster. He's proud. Amen. And all those things it talks about. So you see the last days. You see the love of man. You see the list that proves it. Then you see the Lord's place. And where's that? The Lord's last. Now that's where we're at. The Bible says over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You don't have to go back too far, and you know what you find out? About 50, 100 years ago, there were some men, there were some churches that had the power of God on them.
Yep, yes, sir.
And I mean, they went out and they came in and the power of God was evident in their life. But in Laodicea, everything's flipped around, and now what we've got is a form of godliness. See, we still go to church. We still carry our King James Bible. We still pray over our Cheerios. We've got a form of godliness, but there's no power.
Good preaching. Amen. Lord, help us.
I don't know about you, but I want the power.
Amen.
I know the difference between them and us, amen, and one of the big things was self.
Yeah, right. God help us.
And so we're going to talk about seeing selfishness. The best men in the Bible were selfish. You know what? David was a man after God's own heart. David had himself a lot of women. The Bible says in one place he had princesses. That means he had wives, princesses, that were at least half his age. He had all that, but one day he saw a woman bathing, and you know what the Bible says? He sent for her and took her. You say, why did he do it? He was selfish. Then you've got Eli. He was the high priest. He was a big old fat boy. And you know what God said? God said to that fat boy, he said, listen, tell your boys they're doing wrong. And he told the boys they were doing wrong, and yet the Bible says he ate of those things that were robbed from the people of God. They took that flesh hook down there in that cauldron, brought that meat up raw, and that big old fat boy said, pass the plate. Yeah. Amen. You say, why did he do that? He was selfish. And the difference between the Lord Jesus Christ and you and I are is this, simple. He wasn't selfish.
Amen.
And I cannot get it. You think about this. A God who was not selfish in any way, shape, or form came down inside of you and me and lives there. And so why are we so selfish?
It's good preaching.
Amen.
You ever think about something like that? I'm just talking about seeing selfishness. David couldn't see his own selfishness. For 9 months, he lived in pleasure. He lived just, gratifying himself, amen. And it wasn't until a man came and stuck his finger in his face and said, hey, thou art the man, that he realized, I've been selfish.
Yeah.
It wasn't until God told a little boy, listen, he told Eli, he said, I'm done with you. You ain't going to hear from me. A little boy shows up and God begins to talk to a little boy, and Eli is so hungry to hear from God, he runs to that little boy and he says, what did the Lord say?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You say, what got him out? What got him away from the voice of God? He was selfish. And so we're going to talk about this thing of seeing selfishness. If the best men couldn't see themselves as selfish, I had a guy tell me one time years ago, he said, Brother Earl, here's your problem. I said, what is it? He said, here it is. And I said, I don't know about that. And I said, tell me one thing that proves that. And he gave me about 10. And I said, well, I just said one. You know what? You know what the thing was? He was right. But you know what? I couldn't see it. You say, why? Because we're selfish. I told the folks down there at Bible Baptist this morning, I said, listen, I said, one time my barber told me this. I went in there and I kept him over a half hour and I told him, I said, I got to get this fuzz off my bald head. It's driving me nuts. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? And you know what I'm talking about? And all you bald boys, amen, you might be there soon yourself. And you know what? I went in there and I held my barber up for a half hour. And you know what I said to him? I said, listen, I said, I got to get this fuzz off my head. You know what he said? He says, Brother Earl, nobody sees that but you. You know when I got to thinking about that thing? Now listen, I'm not like most church people. Most of you here preaching, just forget it. But when someone tells me something, I think about it.
Amen.
Drives me nuts. I got to think about it. I sat back in my chair and I thought, nobody sees it but me, huh? Wonder if that's true. I pondered it, and guess what? No one sees it but me. You know why I think everybody's looking at it? Because I'm selfish.
It's good preaching. Amen, preacher.
Amen. I'm just saying, you know what we need tonight? We need to look in a mirror that's real precise. And we need to see ourselves clearly. I'm not talking about the mirrors you look at home and suck it up and think you still got it. You don't. Amen. I'm not thinking about that. I'm not talking about that mirror. I'm talking about the perfect law of liberty. Amen. I'm talking about a mirror that's perfect, that shows you yourself as you are. And it's always right. Now, we don't like it, but it's always right. And so, let's look at this thing. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, here, verse 2 again. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Notice own selves. In Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 21, the Word of God says over there, all men, every one of them, all means all. All men seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 17, the Laodiceans' remark is, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. In the last days, it's about me, my money, and my materialism. Amen. Why? Because I'm selfish. Now, that's a statement out of her own mouth. And, of course, Jesus Christ tapped her on the shoulder and said, hey, no, thou knowest not that thou art, you know, poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. Amen. Spiritually. And I'm going to tell you something. The first thing that you see about this thing, when you see selfishness, is you notice the reality is we're all selfish. That's a reality.
You're right.
The best men, the best women, the best children, the best fathers, the best mothers, the best daughters, the best sons, the best of the best are selfish.
Amen.
Yes, amen. That's a reality. All men seek their own. All includes you.
Amen.
And so the reality is we're all selfish. Look at Romans in chapter 12. Romans in chapter 12. I'm just talking about seeing selfishness. I'm here to help you tonight.
Amen.
I can help. I know how to make a church even better. You just get away from you and you'll be better.
Amen.
Say, why? Because you're no good. Romans in chapter 12. I mean, think about it. When you came to Jesus Christ, you know what you did? You realized that you were no good.
Yeah.
You realized that everything you had done in your life had just made it worse. You realize that because of your selfishness and because of your love for you, you literally wrecked and ruined the life that God gave you to bring Him pleasure with. You made a mess of it. Amen. And so you came to Christ. Amen. Why? Because you finally got over you. Listen, what we need to do these last days is you need to get over you again.
Amen. God help us.
Now, I'm just talking about seeing selfishness. The reality is we're all selfish. In Romans in chapter 12 and in verse 3, the Word of God says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." Isn't that an interesting thing how
Amen.
He puts that? Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Then he says, come on down, boys, but to think soberly. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know what our problem is? We get to the place where we think that we're more highly than we ought to think. Look in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. The Word of God says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now, the Word of God says, when you get to the place where you think you're something, when you're nothing, you deceive yourself. You know what you are tonight? Listen, I'm here to help you. Appreciate your prayers and support. You know what you are? Nothing. You're nothing. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ,
Amen.
What would you be? I'd be in hell or prison. Someone would have killed me or I'd have killed somebody. Amen. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying, when it comes to selfishness, the Bible says, over here, I like how he puts it. Boy, you're talking about Paul. Paul said over and over and over, 13 books of the Bible, and you know what he says? Though I be nothing, though I be nothing, though I be nothing. You know what he said over there in one place? A thing of naught. Amen. You know what Paul knew? I'm nothing. You know what Paul said? I got to die daily. You know what Paul said? I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. I'm a thing of naught. Amen. And you know what? God used him greatly. Listen, if you want to be used to God greatly tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Well, I wish all of you were that way. You know what you need to do? You need to get over you. You say, what are you talking about? Well, look, Galatians 6 and verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Aside from Jesus Christ, you're nothing.
That's right, Amen. Preacher. You're right, preacher.
It's just Christ.
Yes.
Who do you think you are?
Come on. Yes. Good preaching.
Really? Joel Osteen is a liar.
Amen.
You want your best life now? I'll tell you how to have your best life now. Get over you.
Amen.
You're not no good. You understand that?
Yes.
I'm just saying, look in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And over here in 1 Samuel chapter 15, the Word of God says this. I like to pick on this guy because he was a big loser. A big one. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, about 7 feet tall. 1 Samuel 15, look at verse 16. Then Samuel said unto Saul, he had to say something to him. God wouldn't talk to Saul himself. He couldn't hear from God. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight. You say, what was King Saul's problem? He got too big.
Yeah.
He was something when he was nothing. And he deceived himself. He thought, I'm king, I can do anything I want. And so he thought, well, I'm the king, I can do whatever I want, so I'm just going to go make a sacrifice. But he wasn't a priest.
Amen. Yep.
You say, why would he think he could do such a thing? Because he thought he was something. He forgot that he was nothing.
Good preaching, brother. Amen.
He deceived himself. By the way, lost the kingdom because of it.
Yes, he did.
Because he got to thinking he was something. Be careful when you stand, lest you fall.
Amen.
God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of a holy God. He will exalt you in due time. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm saying the reality is we're all selfish. And then all these other points that we're talking about, Romans 12, 3, Galatians 6, 3, 1 Samuel 15, Proverbs 16, 18. Listen, over and over and over we go. There is the ruin of it. You say, what are you saying? Well, look over here in Proverbs in chapter 16. Proverbs in chapter 16. The ruin. When you get to the place where you're selfish again, it ruins your Christianity. You know why a lot of Christians just never go amount to a thing? They're a loser for Jesus Christ because they think it's all about them again. Proverbs 16 and verse 18, it's not about you. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. The Bible says in Proverbs in chapter 14 and verse 14, it says the backslider in heart shall be filled with what? His own ways. You know how you know a man is backslid? By the way, before you get backslid, you got to upslid. Amen. You got to be saved. And when you get saved, what happens is, when you get away from God, you get backslid. The Bible says one of the ways you know you're backslid is you're filled with your own ways.
Yeah, that's right, man.
It's all about you again.
That's good preaching, Brother Earl.
Amen.
To get what I want, I'll do anything. I'll step over anybody. I don't care who I hurt. I don't care what families are wrecked. I don't care what I take from them. I don't care how it makes them feel. It's all about me. You say, what is that? Selfishness.
Yes, sir.
You've got Christians today that'll look another person in the face, lost or saved, and lie and not even blush because they're selfish. They'll take something from somebody. They don't care who they hurt. They don't care what anybody thinks. They're selfish. They're eat up with themselves. You say, what are they? Well, the Bible says they're backslid.
Yeah.
See, when Earl Ankrum was lost, Earl Ankrum was selfish all the time. I saw that Camaro. It's mine. Saw that Harley. Mine. Saw that little girl. Mine. Saw a way to make big money. Mine. Why? Because it was all about me. But when I got saved, something was supposed to change. A new creature in Christ. And now the things of earth should grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
I'm just saying. Selfishness. You know what we don't do? We don't see it. You say, why? Because we're talking about us.
Yeah. Oh, man. Good preaching.
And no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it. You're in love tonight. Most of you men, You're in love with you more than you are your wife. You love you. You women love yourselves more than... you say, what are you saying? I'm saying, you see the reality of selfishness, but then you see the ruin of it. When you get back to the place where it's all about you, selfishness, you're backslid.
Amen.
I'm here to help you. Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says again, over there in Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 21, all men, every one of them, all means all men seek their own. Right here. Every man, all men seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. You say, why is that? They're selfish. Proverbs in chapter 13 and verse 7, 2 Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 4. But look over here in Proverbs 29. Proverbs in chapter 29. Now, I'm talking about seeing selfishness. We need help seeing it because we can't see clearly because it's us. So I care enough about the church to just come and tell you you're selfish.
Amen.
Amen. I'm like Paul, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. I just care enough about them to tell them you're selfish.
Amen.
The reality of selfishness, the ruin of selfishness, it'll ruin you. The worst thing that can happen to a little girl is she figures out she's pretty.
Yeah.
It'll ruin her. The worst thing that can happen to a young man is he figures out he's strong, amen, and he might look a little good. Worst thing can happen. You say, why? Pride go for it. It'll ruin him.
Amen.
Ruin him. I know preachers that have preached. I told the church this morning down there, I know a guy one time he preached, and he was from Kentucky, and he preached a sermon. It was in a meeting there that I was doing, and they needed a fill-in. They said, hey, brother so-and-so, you got anything? And he hadn't preached much, and he got up, and God got on him and used him.
Amen.
Used him real good.
Amen.
And he got his little chest out, thought it was him. And it ruined him. I don't know if he's preached since. What he couldn't figure out was God just pitied the people there, pitied him, and jumped on him.
Amen. Amen.
You understand, this thing don't got nothing to do with us.
That's right, preacher. You're right.
He must increase, and I must decrease.
Amen. That's it. Good preaching.
But it ruined him. When you get to the place where you think you're somebody, be careful when you stand. Why? You're going to fall. Proverbs 29 and verse 15, the Word of God says this. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to what? Child left to what? Bringeth his mother to shame. You see the reality of selfishness, the ruin of selfishness, then you see the reaching of selfishness. You say, where does it reach? Reaches inside our homes. Why would a child be left to himself? Because mama's selfish. Why would a child be left to himself? Daddy's selfish. Once upon a time, 8-10 people lived in a little bitty house. They were all happy.
Amen.
They loved each other, ate together, spent time together, talked to one another.
Amen.
But now, if there are 6 children, there better be 7 bedrooms. You say, why? See, now, I came out of the sewer. When God saved me, he came down here and removed the sewer cover, jumped down into the sewer and picked up this rat and took some dung off of him and cleaned him up a little bit and then let him loose up above. Amen. You know what I figured out? My children ain't going to come up like I came up.
Amen.
So we never had cable.
Amen.
Of course, internet wasn't in them days. Glory to God. And I can tell you today, all my children are grown, but I can tell you every one of them's favorite color. I can tell you what every one of them's favorite meal is. I can tell you what they don't like. I can tell you every physical problem every one of them have. I can tell you everything about them. You say, why? Because we spent time together.
Amen, preacher.
They weren't left to themselves. I'd wake them up in the morning before I went to work and we'd all pray together.
Amen.
Then they could go back to bed. Because my mama was a dopehead and a drunk and daddy worked all the time and they divorced young and mom drank her liver out and died and went to hell at 59. And I'm telling you, my children, I took advantage of the fact that I might only have them for so long. But now, they build these big houses and mama's in her little room doing her own thing on fake book with her fake friends and her fake life and she ain't even thinking about Billy and Susie.
Yeah.
Daddy's in his own room doing his own thing with his fake life. And Billy's up there looking at Lord knows what.
Right. Yeah. Yes,
Susie's looking at Lord knows what in her own room. And you got stupid, ignorant parents that are so selfish, their Christian home don't even resemble anything Christian.
Amen. That's right, preacher.
You say, why? Selfishness reached into our homes. A child left to himself. What in the world? Why in the world would you leave a child to himself? I know why you leave them to yourself. You're selfish. Before I hit the road full time, I was a maintenance mechanic in a factory. It means I sat in the room when something broke, I ran out and fixed it. And we had a lot of heifers in there, a lot of women. There is a word in the Bible where it talks about a woman being a heifer. Them women fit the bill that were in that place. Amen. Now listen, I talked to them on purpose. I said, why would you, some of them had little kids and stuff, they'd drop them off at daycare in the morning and stuff. I'd say, why would you work here? When you got them little babies and you get up early and you drop them off at the daycare and this, that, and that. You know what they tell me? I had one girl tell me, never forget it. She said, see that Cadillac Escalade out there? She said, my husband works, and he can't afford a payment on his truck plus my Escalade, and I had to have it, so I just came to work so I'd get my Escalade. You say, why was she working? Selfishness. And the children were left to themselves. You know why a lot of children thumb their nose at daddy and mama's God about time they get the car keys at 16, 18 years old?
Amen.
They watched a selfish mama and a selfish daddy leave them to themselves. Yeah. Selfishness has wrecked our homes.
Yes,
well, it don't just stop there. It reaches inside the house of God. Into a place where people ought to be praying together, praising together, paying tithes together, preaching together, participating together. But they don't. You say, why? They're selfish. Why is it everybody that has to go on vacation always has to leave on Sunday? I'll tell you why. They really don't care about the people in their church. You know why the churches are coming apart and saying, just like the preacher said before the service, it's true. I've said for years. Listen, you do one or two things. The most carnal Christian can be an encouragement to the people in the church by just showing up.
Amen.
How many of you want to be an encouragement? Say amen.
Amen.
I wish y'all did. And I'm telling you something. You want to encourage each other? Show up every service.
Amen.
How many of you want to be a discouragement? Say amen. Some of you don't have to talk. Your works talk. But you want to be a discouragement? I'll tell you how to do it. Just don't show up. Amen. And by the way, the reason most of the time people don't show up is they're selfish. They got something else to do. They're going to do their own thing, and they don't care what anybody thinks about it, including God, because they're selfish. It's all about them after all. They're just backslidden, can't see it. I'm here to help you. I'm saying selfishness has reached inside of our homes and wrecked them. Selfishness has reached inside of the house of God and left splinters. And naturally, it's reached out there into the heathen. And now, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why can all they think about is empty, vain things that don't mean nothing? Because they don't know no better, because nobody tells them, because everybody's selfish. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. How is it that they forget about God? We let them, because we're selfish. Amen. Well, nobody's running yet. Look in Philippians in chapter 2. Philippians in chapter 2. I'm just saying, I'm here to help you. The reality is, we're all selfish. When you get selfish again as a Christian, it ruins you. It'll ruin your spirituality. It'll ruin your Christianity. It'll ruin your testimony.
Yeah.
Amen. And it reaches inside the home. It reaches inside the house of God. It reaches out there to the heathen. And we've got a bunch of people today, going to hell. We got a bunch of people today that are saved, just a miserable mess. You say, why? Selfishness. In Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 3, the Word of God says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem what? Other better than themselves. Wow, huh? Look not every man on his own things. That's selfishness. But every man also on the things of others. Amen. I'll show it to you again. Look at Romans 15. Romans 15. You know what God does? He's so good to us, He reminds us. You see the reminder, Romans 15, 1 and 2. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. See, that's what we want to do because we're selfish. We want to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Why? For even Christ pleased not himself. You say, what he's saying? The reminder. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 24, the Word of God says this. He puts it this way in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. You say, what are you saying? God reminds us it's not about us. It's about a Savior. It's about somebody else. And self is at best third place.
Amen.
You know, sometimes the easiest thing to do is throw somebody some money. When's the last time you took a whole day and gave a whole day of you to somebody else to be a blessing to them. Find some widow in the church and say, I noticed, is there anything I could just spend the day and fix at your place and do for you? You say, I couldn't do that. I know, because you're selfish. Find somebody, if this is your church, you ought to know each other. You ought to know about each other.
Amen.
You ought to know what each other need.
Amen.
And you're to esteem other better than you. See, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. You know, let brotherly love continue. You know, all that stuff that we, you know, that's in the King James Bible, you say you believe. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, there's the reminder. What does God remind us about? It's not about you. When you got saved, it should have been others. Well, the Bible says, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Let me give you some exhortation here. Look in Proverbs 14. Of course, the Bible says, you know, in Philippians, let all men seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But look in Proverbs in chapter 14. There is a remedy. You want the remedy tonight for you? If you want the remedy tonight to get over you, say amen.
Amen.
Here it is, Romans 14 and verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. That's how he knows he's backslid. It's all about him. And a good man. Don't you want to be a good man?
Amen.
Shall be satisfied, what? From himself. The best thing you can do tonight is get away from you. Because you're no good for you.
Amen.
You're no good for you. A good man shall be satisfied from himself. You need to get away from you. There's your inner man and there's your outer man. Your outer man's no good for you. Your outer man's lost. He's a monster of iniquity, an antichrist. Paul said, inside my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's what he said. He said, I die daily. Why did he have to die daily? Because he was no good for himself. And you are by nature a child of wrath. By nature, you're selfish.
That's right.
But there's another nature. There's the Adamic nature. That's this carcass that you got to spray down with cologne because it stinks.
Right.
Amen. But then there's your spiritual nature. The inner man, the spiritual man, the man after God.
Yes.
And he wants God. And he wants to tell others and he wants to spend his life for others, but you won't let him. Amen. A good man shall be satisfied from himself. The Bible says in Luke 18 and verse 14, Luke 18 and verse 14, and the Word of God says over there, it says, I tell you this, man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. Matthew 16, 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. You need to deny you. You say, what are you saying? You need to learn how to tell you no.
Amen.
It would help you in every way.
Yeah.
If you wanted another plate and you're trying to lose weight, just say no. You ain't going to eat it.
Amen.
Amen. If you've got some addiction like Christian crack, like a lot of us do, you say, what's Christian crack? Coffee. After 3-4 cups, say no, no. You say, what are you saying? I'm just saying, you need to learn to say no to you. You need to learn to deny yourself. You say, why? Because you're no good for you.
That's right, preacher. That's right.
You're no good for you. The devil don't know most of your names. You say, why? He don't need to. He's got you working for him. You're selfish. And so you're going to go where you want to go, do what you want to do, eat what you want to eat, buy what you want to buy. And you don't care who it hurts or what anybody else thinks about it because you're selfish. Now that's the case whether you like it or not. That's how it is. And the remedy tonight is to get away from you. And I'm going to tell you something. We've got, of course, the greatest illustration of that in the Word of God written. I mean, there's the remembering. The remembering what? Well, let me give you a couple verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. The Word of God says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. I'm just talking about seeing selfishness. It says this, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." The Bible says, "And yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The Bible says he went about doing good. The Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. You say, why? There was a woman there that was hurting, and it wasn't about him, it was about somebody else. Amen. So he went there and sat at the well, and she came in the heat of the day. All the women hated her. Nobody could stand her. Amen. And so there she comes out. Nobody cared for her soul. All she was looking for, the only reason she's hanging on to life probably, was she says, "We know that Messiah cometh, and when he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus Christ said, "He that speaketh unto thee is he." Yeah! And she got some hope.
Amen.
There's a man for 38 years laid by the pool over there. 38 years. Jesus Christ, see, it wasn't about him. He goes to a man and he says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And he says, "Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, that will put me in, but while I'm going, another one cometh." That man had no hope. He had nobody. Nobody cared for him. 38 years in that state, he couldn't get... You say, why would nobody help him? Well, they didn't have no money to give him. What could he do for him? And men are selfish. If there's nothing in it for them, leave them go. But not Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" He says, "I have no man." Not only did he have no man, he had nothing to give any man.
Yeah.
So he was done because men are selfish. But Jesus Christ said, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and walk." Yeah! You say, what was he? He was selfless. And you need to find somebody and go do something for him, give something to him, and be a blessing to him, knowing that they cannot in any way, shape, or form do anything for you.
Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Good preaching.
It's called Christianity, by the way.
Amen.
Heads are down, eyes are closed. God talk to you. You can come talk to God about whatever it is God talked to you about. Come on now. Time to talk to God. Come on. Time to come to an altar. Time for you to talk to God about whatever it is that God talked to you about. Come on. Time to talk to God. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Now, every one of us is guilty. That's just a given. Every one of us. All men seek their own. The Bible says over there in 2 Timothy, the last days, the Laodiceans, are lovers of their own self. The best men, the best women, the best children are selfish. Some of you mamas are selfish. Some of you daddies are selfish. You brothers and sisters, some of you selfish. Some of you husbands, if you treated your wife as good as you treat you, you'd have a great marriage. Some of you wives, if you treated your husbands as good as you treat you, what a marriage. But you're selfish. And the remedy is to get over you. Because you're no good for you. You came to Christ because you were sick of you. Now why don't you come back to him tonight, backslider, because you're sick of you. You have not because you ask not. Knock and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Amen. Why don't you come to an altar tonight and just say this: God, show me what area of my life I'm selfish in. Am I selfish with my mouth? I don't tell nobody about Christ. I don't exhort nobody. Am I selfish with my members? I don't care enough to go help anybody else. It's all about me and what I got to do for me. Are you selfish with your money? It's my money. I'm going to hoard it. I'm going to stick it in the bank. Even though I know brothers and sisters that have need, I'm going to keep it because I'm selfish. Oh, if you'd ever get over you. The Bible says you and I are created for His pleasure, not our own. We're not to please ourselves. First one you ought to please is Jesus Christ. Amen. You ought to come and say, Jesus Christ, what do you want me to do to please you? Then you're to please your neighbor. Say, who's my neighbor? Everybody. And then you, at best, are third place. Maybe you slipped in here tonight and you're lost and undone and on your way to hell, scared to die. You're sick of your life, sick of your sin. You're empty on the inside, fed up with life. You slipped into church tonight just to look for some hope. Well, there's hope here. Amen. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, all, everybody, every one of us, all who come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You're here tonight, you're sick of your life, you're sick of your sin, you're empty on the inside. You put your head on the pillow at night and you think, am I saved, am I lost, would I go to heaven, would I go to hell? You've never been saved, you've never repented and trusted Christ. If that's you here tonight, would you just be honest and slip up your hand and say, preacher, I've never been saved. Anybody that way? Never have been saved, never trusted the blood of Christ. I'm on my way to hell and I don't want to go. Anybody that way? Don't lie in the house of God. You lost? Let me ask you this, Christians. How many of you would just be honest enough to raise your hand tonight and say, I can see clearly areas of my life where I am very selfish. Would you just be honest and slip up your hand? Come on now. Well, just about every hand. What are you going to do about it? See, David couldn't see that he was selfish until somebody stuck the finger out and said, you're selfish. So he looked in the Word of God tonight and he stuck his finger out and he said, we're selfish. Now get over you and do what God wants you to do.
Amen. Y'all go ahead and look back on up.